So you already saw Carl this morning. If you haven't seen my father, would you at least wave? The other Pastor Bergren in the house is here. So I have to watch what I say this morning because my father is grading. So he's already got his grade sheet out. I'm a little nervous. I'm not sure I can get through this. So I'll see what I can do. So we're at the end here of this tour we've been taking. And we've looked at our core values as we've taken a tour. And if you want to catch up, we have all of the sermons online as we looked at our core values. So you go, where are we going to go today? And part of the tour, this is the unglamorous part of the tour. It is a table in the back of the office. And it is this table over here on, I guess, the left side. It is where the offerings are counted. It's not very glamorous. It's not very pretty. It's in an office. It's not even a real wood. It's a fake grain, wood grain table. But that is where generosity is realized here at church. And without the generosity of the congregation, we wouldn't have a church. Now, the other place that I can show you, which is a little bit more pretty, is here in the sanctuary where generosity is expressed. So we have really two places where generosity is really talked about, where it is realized, where it is counted, and where it is expressed here in the room. And I know it's a topic, when you start talking about giving, it makes people uncomfortable. I get it. So I'm going to give you let you off the hook this morning. I have no idea what you give. I don't know what you give. And if you think that anything I say this morning, and you think I'm talking about you or to you, I'm not, because I don't know. However, I would say the caveat is God might be saying something to you. But I don't. I don't have personal knowledge. So I just wanted you to be aware of that. So I don't want you to think he's being passive aggressive or he's directing this at me or anything like that. That is not the case. So when we talk of the money, people get worked up. I think some of it could be that it is self-serving. The pastor's talking about money. That is a self-serving sort of interest. It could also be that financial security or insecurity is so significant in our culture that we get nervous when someone suggests that we give some of that most precious resource away. Now, there's a reason that generosity and giving is our very last core value, and it's not because I put that at the end because I don't want to talk about it. Believe it or not, if you haven't noticed, that our core values actually create a path towards spiritual maturity. So take a look at this. From the moment that we are welcomed as guests here and we decide to stay and engage and get to know people and worship Christ, that we're engaged in Christ-centered community, which begins a path of spiritual growth to answering life's most important questions by searching the scriptures. And out of that, we learn that what we learn in the Bible is loving God is also about loving neighbor and responding to the needs of others, which will finally, in this last step, if we choose to take it, that we become abundant givers in the spirit of generosity. But here's the thing. It is often the hardest and last step to take in spiritual growth. It literally is. That's why it is at the end. It is often the hardest step to take because people have a hard time giving until they discover the blessing associated with it. I mean, it makes no difference where someone is on the spectrum in terms of their income. I think everybody could say every cent is spoken for. Doesn't make any difference how much you have or how little you have. All of us can say, well, every bit of income or every bit of savings could be spoken for something else. So that's a difficult thing. But here's what I want us to understand this morning, is that there is blessing to be found when we intentionally and proportionally give to God when it comes to generosity. Now, you just heard the gospel reading this morning where Jesus is up at the temple with his disciples watching people give their offering. Tell me that wouldn't be awkward. I mean, you think about it. Would you want Jesus physically in the room watching you as you give your offering on a Sunday morning? I mean, that would be a little awkward. Maybe a little nerve-wracking. So they're watching this, and what they're seeing is large gifts being given and small gifts being given, including a poor widow who gave very little. So after watching this for a while, Jesus speaks up to his disciples and he says, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, she put in everything, all she had to live on. So Jesus is saying, it's not about the amount. It doesn't matter if you give a little or you give a lot. Isn't that amazing? Jesus says it is the proportion of the gift that matters. It's not the size of the gift, but the sacrifice in giving it. Which kind of blows giving out of the water when you start to think about it. Because Jesus says it's not about who's rich and who isn't. It has nothing to do with the amount. Anyone can give in a way that does not make an impact on their personal comfort. Anybody can give in such a way that it doesn't affect how they live. So Jesus was pointing out that this woman gave sacrificially, and the amount wasn't important as it was the intention to give in relation to what she had. Now, this isn't the only place where this theme is picked up. Paul, St. Paul, when he started the church in Corinth, he would write letters to them. That's why we have 1 and 2 Corinthians. He was writing them a letter, and at the end of the letter, he starts talking about taking up a collection to the home church in Jerusalem, because long before Rome was seen as the home base of the church, it was Jerusalem. And they were struggling in Jerusalem, the early Christians. And so Paul would go to the various churches that he had started and said, we need to help the home church. And so he wrote them about a gift they gave a year or two before, and he came back to them and said, we need to help this church again. And this is what he says. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what they do not have. What he's saying is the blessing in giving is in proportion to what you have. Meaning, it's not about who gives the most and who gives the least. It is all directly tied to what one has. So when someone makes a decision to give to the church, what Paul and even Jesus says, it is in relation to what you have, what you earn. And that is where generosity can shine through. Now, let me give you an example of this. A couple of times this past year, we gave to the ELCA, Lutheran Disaster Response, our own family. As you know, we had the hurricane response stuff for not only Houston, but Florida and also Puerto Rico. And then also, Lutheran Disaster Response was active with the fires up north. So we, as a family, we gave to Disaster Response several times. And I remember this because we just did Texas, right? So what we gave was several different times, our family, well, Rachel and I, we gave $50 several times. I don't remember how many times, but it was more than two for the different things that were going on. We felt moved to help out. But what I would tell you is this, the gift was not proportional to our income in any significant or measurable way. It was not sacrificial giving. It was not even sacrificial based on what was in the bank account that day. I would conclude that that was not a generous gift. I don't mean it was a bad gift. It's not, I mean, they didn't refuse it. They didn't turn it down. But as I reflect on it, It certainly wasn't a generous gift. It wasn't that. It wasn't proportional. It wasn't sacrificial. It wasn't anything. It was just giving because I felt moved. We felt moved to give. And what I'm talking about is the difference between just giving a gift, where there's nothing wrong with that, and what it means to give generously. And here is why. Generosity and giving is a sign of spiritual growth, and it's also a sign of spiritual maturity. And believe it or not, it's a sign of spiritual health. And I think that's kind of important and worth talking about it. And I've given you these stats before because it's in relation to the fact that it's been studied that Christians give about 2.4% of their income to the church, and Lutherans specifically give about 1.6%. Now, the biblical or the Old Testament guideline for giving was called a tithe, 10%. Now, you can make an argument as Christians. You can say, well, we're no longer under the law, and 10% seems pretty oppressive. I mean, you could make the argument, no longer under the law. You don't have to say this is what it has to be. But even if we say we're no longer under the law, and we say, okay, if the Old Testament folks talked about 10%, if nothing else, it is a guideline for us. It's not a rule, it's not a law, but a guideline. And overall, for Lutherans across the country, 1.6% is a far cry from 10%, even if it is a guideline. I mean, and I would just say, just anecdotally, if everyone who is a member here, every household, gave at 5% of their income, we would never need to have a budget meeting again. We just wouldn't. There would be no talk or worry about money ever. So you might find this interesting. Just a couple of statistics. Liz Tribby was nice enough to dig up some statistics for me. There are 250 families or households here at Bethel. Out of that 250 households, 179 of them give consistently, or about 71.5% of the congregation give consistently. Out of that 179 households that give consistently, 43 participate in what we would call automated giving, or 24%, which means automated giving, and some folks do that and some folks don't, and that's, I'm not saying everybody should, but what automated giving is the fact of saying, whether I'm in church or not, my gift is going to be given because I might be gone on a given Sunday, or I might be sick, or I might miss, and I'm going to just make sure that no matter what, whether I'm here or not, the gift is going to be given. It's kind of interesting. And here's what I'm saying to you. I think it would be good for everyone, including myself, if we were informed givers. Informed. That's all I'm talking about. I hope that everyone who gives consistently to the church knows what percentage of income they are giving, not just an amount. Because being an informed giver will help you grow in being generous. I mean, and the reason I say that is it might surprise that making an informed decision might change how you give. It has nothing to do with the amount. It has nothing to do with how rich or poor we are, but proportional, intentional giving leads to generosity. Nothing to do with the amount. I mean, even Paul, continuing on to the church in Corinth, he says, each person should give what they have decided in their heart to give, meaning it's nobody else's decision, not reluctantly or under compulsion, meaning you can disregard everything that I'm saying, but God loves a cheerful giver. That's the secret to giving, right? Those who give generously are cheerful. And the word in Greek, you've heard me say this before, the word cheerful in Greek is the root word for being hilarious, laughter, and there's the word joyful. God loves a joyful giver. Of course, I've never met anybody who's bitter about giving to church because those who are bitter just don't give. But a lot of people focus on what they're giving away, money, and not what they receive by what they do when they give. I mean, you heard this whole thing in Malachi. God in the Old Testament is talking through the prophet Malachi, and Israel's struggling, and God says to them, return to me and I'll return to you. And notice God already's taken a step forward by talking to them. God's already reaching out to them. And they're all in. They're like, yeah, okay, we're all in. How do we return to you? And God says, well, will a man rob God, yet you rob me? And they're dumbfounded. They're like, well, that's impossible. How can we possibly rob God? So God brings this invitation forward, and they're all in. And then he challenges them, and they're like, well, how do we do that? And he says, well, in tithes, in that 10% in the offering. He says, you're under a curse, the whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. I mean, whether it's intentional or not, and we don't know that, God says, part of the problem is you're not even interested in sacrificial giving. It's a sign of their spiritual health and spiritual commitment, and it is lacking. So God even uses strong language with them, and we're not Israel. We're not under the law. But it still illustrates to us what God is saying. He's like, hey, commit to me, and I will be close to you. And if you do, he says, test me in this, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. I mean, can you imagine God saying in the Bible, I double dog dare you to give and see what happens in your life? He says, I dare you. One of the ways that we draw close to God is when we give away our most precious asset. It shows that we trust God more than our assets. I mean, as we draw close to God, and I told you that this is often the last step that most people take in their spiritual growth, their last hurdle, that as people do that, God will show up in ways and bless you in your life that are very real. Blessings like peace and the presence of God and community and connection and a trust that will endure through even the hardest of times. I mean, don't fall for the preachers who say, give, and then you'll get money in return. I mean, it kind of defeats the purpose. God wants to bless us with things that are things that we cannot buy. But it's interesting that we can give and be blessed with those things. Qualities and characteristics that remind us that God is a giver, right? I mean, the most famous Bible verse that most people know, for God so loved the world that he gave. God is a giver. And when we think about the life and ministry of Jesus, in terms of generosity, when he came to earth, he gave more than 10%. He gave everything for us because he loves us so much. I love Jesus because though I deserve nothing, he gave me everything. Amen.